Welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski, and this is the 12-Minute Shiur number 17, Happy the Elephant and the Halakha. As always, you can download the source sheet at our website. There, you'll find a link to a recent news article about the case of Happy, an elephant who lives at the Bronx Zoo. An animal rights group went to court to sue for a writ of habeas corpus so that Happy might be transferred to a more natural environment. The implication behind the suit is that animals, or at least highly intelligent animals like Happy the elephant, enjoy rights under the law. The court, by a vote of 5-2, ruled against the animal rights group. Legal rights, said the opinion, pertain to human beings and not to animals. Well, this got us to thinking about what Halakha has to say about the issue. Now, let's posit at the outset that animals do not have rights under Jewish law, and that's because, well, we don't have rights either. Jewish law does not have a concept of legal rights. As we know, it prefers to speak of mitzvot and chiyuvim, of duties and obligations, rather than rights that we enjoy. So what we're really talking about, then, is whether our tradition recognizes that we have an ethical chiyuv, or duty, toward animals, and if so, what the nature of that duty is. So a good way to begin is with Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 6 and 7, and that's on lines 6 through 13 on the source sheet. Ki yikare kan tzipur lifanecha, if you chance upon a bird's nest, and so forth and so on, you shall not take the mother with the young. Shaleach tishalach et ha'em, you shall let the mother go, but the young you may take to yourself, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long. Now, it's natural to conclude from this that the ta'am, or the rationale behind the mitzvah, which the rabbis call shiluach haken, has something to do with displaying compassion toward the mother bird. The rabbis were certainly aware of this rationale, but they had a serious problem with it. Let's look at the Talmud, Brachot 33b, beginning on line 18. The Mishnah there specifies three things that one should never recite in one's prayer. That is, they're objectionable on theological grounds, and if we hear someone recite them, then we should make that person shut up. One of these phrases is, Al kan tzipur yagiu rachamecha, your mercies, O God, extend to the bird's nest, a clear reference to the mitzvah that we've just talked about. Now, the Gemara discusses just why these phrases are problematic. It has no difficulty finding problems with the other two, Ve'al tov yizecher shemecha and modim modim, but what's wrong with declaring that God shows compassion toward birds? Well, two reasons are given. The first is, Mipnei shemetil kin'a b'maaseh bereshit, because it sows jealousy among the works of creation. That is, as Rashi tells us, it improperly singles out one species over others as objects of divine mercy. The other reason is, Mipnei she'oseh midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim ve'enan ela gezerot, because it declares that the mitzvot of the Holy One are intended for mercy, when they are in fact simply decrees. Now, as Rashi explains in lines 46 through 49, God did not issue the mitzvot in order to do mercy, but rather to impose God's decrees upon Israel, so that they, Israel, may demonstrate that they are God's servants and that they keep God's mitzvot and decrees, even those things over which Satan and the nations of the world can criticize us, asking, what is the purpose of this mitzvah? That is, we should not be seeking the purpose or the rationale behind any of the Torah's mitzvot. It's enough to know that they are decrees, expressions of God's will that need not make any other sense than that. Now, if Rashi is right about this explanation, then what we have here is a classic example of the trend in Jewish thought that opposes any sort of inquiry into what we call ta'amei mitzvot, the rationale behind or the reason for the commandments. What are these commandments trying to get us to do? That opposition is in part based on the fear that if we can't find a convincing rationale, and as Rashi indicates, many mitzvot don't seem to have one, we may be tempted to neglect that mitzvah. Right? So it's better to accept it as a commandment and to obey it simply because it is a commandment. Now, Rambam, in the Mishneh Torah, lines 54 through 63, adopts the Talmud's second reason as the basis for the halakha, but he understands it differently from Rashi. According to Rambam, the Talmud's objection to one's associating the mitzvah of the bird's nest or the similar commandment in Leviticus 22 with God's compassion toward animals is Mipnei shemitzvot elu gezerot hakatuv hein ve'enan rachamim. She'ilu haya mipnei rachamim lo haya matir lanu shchita kol ikar. Because these mitzvot are decrees and not about mercy. For had God intended them as mercy, God would not have permitted us to slaughter animals at all. The objection is not against seeking the rationale behind the mitzvot, that's okay, but against saying that you know what the rationale to these mitzvot is. If you think they're about mercy and compassion toward animals, well, you're wrong, because if that were the case, why does the Torah allow us to cause pain to animals in order that we might eat them? So the person who makes these statements is declaring a falsehood, which is something that we ought not to do in prayer. All of which is a very different kind of take from what Rambam says in his Mora Nevuchim, or Guide of the Perplexed, his philosophical treatise. That text is on lines 68 through 83. And there he says that these mitzvot do have a rationale. It's tsa'ar ba'alei chayim, consideration for an animal's pain and suffering. And here we're talking about emotional pain, the suffering of the mother animal as she watches her young being taken or slaughtered. In experiencing this pain, he says, animals are the equal of humans. They, like we, can feel that pain. And from that statement, it isn't hard to derive the idea that animals, like humans, deserve mercy, that they have some sort of, well, right to it. Thus, says Rambam, the Torah shows compassion for the emotional distress, hatsa'arim hanafshi'im, of animals and birds, and how much the more so of human beings. So here, Rambam apparently contradicts what he says in the Mishneh Torah, where he claims that the mitzvah to send away the mother bird has nothing at all to do with rachamim, with compassion toward animals. Now, we could spend a lot of time trying to resolve this contradiction between Rambam's two comments. It's a very rabbinic thing to do, but we're more interested here in what Nachmanides, or Ramban, has to say in his commentary to Deuteronomy chapter 22, which begins on line 88 of the source sheet. Ramban, who lives during the century following Rambam, has already seen the Mishneh Torah and the Mora Nevuchim, not to mention the Talmud and Rashi. And in his commentary, he rather artfully stitches together the themes of all of these prior sources. He begins by accepting the Mishneh Torah's explanation for why you're not to say your mercies extend to the bird's nest. Namely, that this mitzvah is not about mercy at all. For if it were, why does the Torah allow us to slaughter animals? But then he goes an extra step. He says, this means that God, in fact, does not show compassion to a mother animal and to her young. So don't you go around saying that the Torah does show mercy for animals in your prayer. God's mercy does not extend to animals to prevent us from using them for our purposes. If it did, the Torah would have prohibited shechita. In other words, if it's not just that these mitzvot have nothing to do with compassion, it's that the Torah simply does not show compassion toward animals at all. As animals, they have no rights, no reasonable expectation of mercy, let alone a legal right to it. So, is there no ta'am or rationale for these two mitzvot? Well, yes, there is, says Ramban, and we're on lines 91 and 105. Aval ta'am ha-meniya lilamed otanu midat harachmanut v'shelo nit'achzar. The rationale, or the ta'am, for the prohibition, and we're talking about the mitzvah of the bird's nest, is to teach us the quality of mercifulness, so that we will not act with cruelty. For Ramban, then, the mitzvah is not about animals. It's about us. We are to behave mercifully toward animals, not for their sake, we don't care about them, but in order to teach ourselves how to behave mercifully toward other human beings, who we might say do enjoy what amounts to a right, quote-unquote, to our compassion and kindness. And by the way, none of this contradicts the Talmud, says Ramban, because all the mitzvot, including those like this one that does make sense and does have a clear rationale, all the mitzvot are technically gezerot or decrees. So we have several different approaches to our question. The first is the Talmud filtered through Rashi, which says that none of the mitzvot are about rachamim or about mercy. They're all decrees. Do this because God says so, and that's all we need to know. Number two, Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. He says that this mitzvah, at least, is not about mercy because we still get to eat animals. Number three, Rambam in the Mori Nevuchim says that, on the contrary, this mitzvah is indeed about mercy and that animals, equally with human beings, deserve compassionate treatment. Animal rights, anyone? And finally, number four, the Ramban, who says in his commentary that the Torah never shows mercy to animals, we do get to eat them after all, so they deserve nothing from us, and that the mitzvot that seem to say otherwise are really about teaching us to be the best human beings that we can be. Four different approaches to the question of our ethical duty to animals. And they do make a difference which one of them you happen to choose. We'd love to tie them together to make one grand comprehensive theory or statement about the Torah's view of the ethical treatment of animals, but our self-imposed 12-minute limit is upon us. So, if you have some thoughts about it, we'd love for you to leave a comment at our Facebook page or to drop us an email at freehoffinfo@gmail.com. In the meantime, this has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 17 from the Freehoff Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.